Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Limited Now podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now, I hope you've all had a fantastic week and I've got a brilliant interview for you today with someone who I've known for a couple of years, and this guy is an absolute legend in and around Leamington and Warwick. His name is Phil Sims and he set up the Healthformation Coach's new business a couple of months ago, but actually just before Christmas 2016, and he's a legend. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about a whole manner of stuff, including why people fail at hitting their goals, what stops them, why do people stay in positions and jobs that they're not too sure about, some top tips about changing your life and behaviours, mindsets and so much more. So, split into three parts. Let's check out part one now with Phil and I. So today we are at the lovely Binswood Hall against the roaring fire, against a very wet and windy day outside, which is lovely. But I am joined today with Phil Sims from The Healthformation Coach, his brand new business. Welcome along, Phil. How are you doing?
Thank you for inviting me along, Gary.
That's all right. Am I right in thinking your business has just changed? Is that right?
Yeah, I've just gone through a rebrand, so I've come out of Phil Sims Personal Training into Phil Sims The Healthformation Coach.
Nice.
The reason behind that is I don't just do personal training now. I still do, but it's not the only thing that I do. I've very much transitioned over the last year into coaching.
Okay.
So I still operate out of a gym in Leamington. So don't get me wrong, I'm still doing that side of it, but for me, I came to the realisation that exercise isn't the answer.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, it's obviously good, and I'm not here to tell you to stop exercising. You know, you probably should be. But in terms of people getting results, and I'm just going to use someone who probably wants to lose weight for an example, because that's kind of where most of my inquiries and clients come from. Someone wanting to lose weight, let's put it out there, they're probably in a position where they haven't been exercising, they haven't been eating too well to serve their body, and they're just quite simply in a position where they're not too happy about their body.
Okay,
that's probably fair enough, isn't it?
Mm.
So what they do is they get this grand idea that they need to go and do more exercise to lose weight, because it's probably been told to them from others and they read it in magazines.
Makes sense.
The media puts a lot of that stuff in there. So they join a gym or they join a class, they go to a boot camp, whatever the case may be. And then they start to feel a little bit better about themselves because they've made that step, and that's cool, that's great. And then they toddle off, they go to the gym, and they probably don't know what to do, but if they do know what to do, they'll go once or twice a week, maybe for about 2 or 3 weeks, and that's great. And then they'll probably either be bored, so they'll stop, or something in life will happen. They'll get busy at work, they'll have overtime, the gym might be too busy for them. Stuff happens at home. Life generally just does its thing and gets in its way. So they stop going for a week, and then it turns into two. Before you know it, you haven't been for a month. And then that that mound is higher to go back to whatever the plan was.
Yeah.
So they lose interest and then validate it with excuses of why it doesn't work for them and how they're too busy for exercise. So I kind of got to the point where I thought, well, I've got, let's say I've got 20 or 30 clients. Well, let's say I've worked with 100 over the last few years. The people that are getting results are the ones who are, they're obviously exercising and they're doing all these things that I'm kind of telling them what to do. So know that the system works if you do it. But then the people who aren't doing it, what's going wrong there? Okay, so I came to the decision that it's about the mind, what goes on in that little cloud of our head.
It's very powerful.
It is. So I started to study this area, okay, because it was quite new to me, to be honest, for what I thought. Obviously, I had a certain set of mindset skills myself, I just wasn't aware of them. Okay, because I've been come from a bodybuilding background, so I obviously had a level of discipline to to do that.
Well, we'll go into your background in a little bit more.
Yeah. So I started studying mindset and a bit of psychology and of neuroscience to then bring that into play with, you know, personal training clients. And I soon realised that this stuff started becoming more of a passion of mine because I was getting results for myself and results with others.
Perfect.
Okay, so if we got people's mindset right, the nutrition and the training started to take care of itself. So my three main areas are mindset, training, and nutrition. And I say to people, when they come to me for training, that's the third step, okay? And then I have to explain to them why, because if we get your mindset right, we get you to understand why it is that you want to be here and what it is that you want to do, you don't need more motivation because you find true inspiration from within. Okay, so that next time where work gets busy or life just takes over and you need to get back to what it is that you want to do for your goal, your why is there and you're a lot more clearer about what it is that you want to do.
Got you. So your mindset really drives all the rest of your behaviours. So whatever happens actually doesn't make any difference because you can separate that and say, do you know what, that's happened. It's not going to accept, it's not going to change what I'm trying to do. It's just going to deviate it. I'm back on it now.
Yeah. The truth is that things happen. Life does its thing. Okay? Now, you can't always control that. What you can influence, though, is how you respond to it.
Got
you. Okay? So that's it. Having the tools behind. This is the thing. Okay, what do I have to do to get back up and carry on and get back to where I want to be? That's the trick.
Cool. So that's quite a big revelation, isn't it? Quite a big mind shift change for some people. Let's go back a bit. So let's talk about you as a person, and let's talk about you and your background. So let's say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, what were you doing?
Okay.
Let's take it right back.
It's been a colourful decade,
okay,
I'll be honest with you. So I haven't always been doing this, and I haven't always been like who I am today.
Sure.
10 years ago, I was just working in an office, plain old accounts admin job, which offered me no kind of passion whatsoever. and I didn't do fitness. I mucked about playing a little bit of football, but that was probably from me almost having to do what I thought I was supposed to be doing. You know,
so not really what you wanted to, or what you found
young
had to
guy.
Do.
He was like, "Yeah, you go and play football," but I was really shy as a youngster, and it didn't work for me. Any form of group activity, whether that was football or cricket, it just didn't work because I couldn't mingle with the lads. So I was always the odd one out and the outcast, and I was like the smallest kid also at school and that age. So I never really blended with that environment, so it didn't work for me.
No.
And then it got to the point where I wanted to change. I needed a new job. And I remember rightly, this it all coincided together, and sort of where I am today is all from an accident. I was out on a Christmas party and I'd had too much to drink and I fell over and I broke my ankle.
Okay,
so I was rushed to hospital and all that. So football and all that stuff, although I didn't really get on with it,
went straight out the window.
So to cut this long story short, I obviously got back after 6 to 8 weeks, and then I thought, okay, well, maybe I need to be fitter. You know, maybe I didn't have the ability to mingle with guys when I was younger, but if I was fitter, I'd improve as a footballer. So I joined the gym.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I did the classic thing that, well, most people do now and probably will be doing in January. So join the gym. And then I didn't actually go for 6 months.
Okay. I think, sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't go because I was scared. I was scared of everyone pointing the finger and judging me, because quite honestly, it was all, you know, new to me, and everyone was bigger than me and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't go, and I was hoping that my mate who went would go with me, but that just didn't seem to work out. So it got to 6 months, and I thought, well, I need to do something about this now. I do want to do this. Mm-hmm. I did, although I may not have been aware of it, I had a why behind it, that I was fed up of being the small kid, the kid that just didn't have any confidence. So I hooked up with, you know, a personal trainer at the gym, and then he showed me around, and it didn't take very long for me to realise that I liked this, because it was something I could do on my own. So I didn't have all that issues of having to do it with groups. If I didn't get anywhere, it was all down to me.
So you had the accountability factor.
So I had my own accountability. I know if I wanted to achieve something, it was all down to me and improve. And at the time, the internet was kind of like sort of new and cool and stuff like that. So I could research my own stuff on there. So I started coming up with my own ideas, my own training plans, and then got on with it. And I came across this guy who was a bodybuilder. Okay, clearly a good bodybuilder. And I thought, if I could be half as good as that, that'd be awesome. So I set myself this 5-year plan to compete.
How long ago was this?
So I set that plan in 2002. So I set a plan to compete in 5 years. Now, that was obviously a lot of work that was needed. But as I said, I had something I could get my teeth into. And then I lost my job, the company that I was with got offshored, so we was all made redundant. So I was like, okay, what do I do now? And then the idea came to me that I could study to be a personal trainer. I saw an advert for a PT qualification, so I thought, okay, let's. And I was in a good position, because although it was made redundant, we had a year before we actually was told to leave. So I thought, okay, I'm going to carry on doing this job, but study in the meantime.
Makes sense.
And I did half of it at work.
What's worse that could happen?
So I kind of utilised my time a little bit. So anyway, so I then kind of, I obviously went on and did the bodybuilding thing. That happened in the 5 years, and I did a local show, and I won. And I thought, oh, that's great. And I went on and done a few others, and I then competed at 3 British finals. So I did that, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do. My passion was to help people, I then realised. Because then if I go back a few years when I left that job, I then started as a personal trainer. But it didn't go too well. I made that jump of, right, I've got the qualification, I then jump into a new gym. And most jobs as a PT are self-employed. There isn't a lot of support. I didn't know any different. I had no business skills or anything. You're not taught anything like that. Well, you certainly wasn't when I did the qualification. So I started a gym in Warwick, and it didn't work. I basically failed. I didn't really have any clients, because the one thing that I knew that I struggled with, playing the football and and the cricket, was I had to speak to people. And my shyness really was a highlight for why I didn't really make it as a PT. So I kind of pretty much quit. And then I had to do all sorts of different kind of jobs just to sort of make ends meet, and delivering Chinese, delivering sandwiches, and just part-time jobs like that. And I thought, this isn't really what I want to do. So I had another crack at the PT, because I knew that's what I wanted. I wanted to help people.
You had that
drive,
you had that passion to do it.
It was my passion, I enjoyed it. And if I could do something that I then got paid to do, things would be cool. So I took a different route. I realised that route wasn't for me. I needed a better strategy. So I then, luckily, stumbled across this job advert in the paper, in the Courier, for a local studio in Warwick, just to help out. And then I did that for a few years, and that was great because I didn't have any of that worry about, you know, the money side of it in terms of having to get clients.
No, you're employed by someone.
Yeah,
so therefore...
I was given clients, and I just got on and did my job, and then that really made my confidence blossom.
Yeah,
because I just, what I could do, I was good at. It's just I wasn't getting the opportunity. This gave me that opportunity.
Yeah.
So my confidence just went through the roof. I thought, great, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a couple of years, it got to the point where I wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do something a little bit different, something more for myself, and it just wasn't really going to happen where I was. So I had to make a big decision. So I had to leave. Wasn't an easy decision.
No.
I did enjoy where I was and what I was doing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start all over again. But I had a couple of people who followed me out of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
They followed me. They said, wherever you go, we want to go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I love a bit of loyalty.
So
I started with two clients 3-4 years ago now.
Yeah.
Back at a gym in Leamington. And then I've just really sort of blossomed since. Things sort of grew. Two become three. Three become four.
Mm-hmm.
I then started looking into other areas like websites and blogging and emailing and using social media.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really spend an awful lot of money, to be honest, on advertising. Hardly any. But my passion came out by me just talking about what I did and how I help people, you know, on Facebook. And then, you know, things were going okay. You know, pretty good. It was nice to just be having certain amount of clients. And then it got to the point where you was always told, let's call it PT school, that you had to train 20 sessions a week. That was
the golden number, wasn't
it? That's it, that was a golden number.
How did they get to that golden number?
I could never get there. It was always like, it was like 15, 16, I thought, I'm just around the corner from getting there. And then it gets to 18 and 19, and then two people would drop off, and you'd get a little bit downbeat because it was just going up and down all the time. You're like, oh, okay, what's going on here? And then it finally happened. It got to 20. I was like, yeah, great, this is awesome. And then something strange happened. Within about 2-3 months, it was 30. And I was like, wow, that's crazy, you know, because at 20 I wasn't happy, even though that's what I was searching for.
Yeah.
And then it got to 30 and I'm still not happy. So if it got to 40, I wouldn't be happy even more, would I? And I was starting to get stressed out, just getting too busy, and I'm like, this isn't really what I wanted to do. Or this isn't what I thought it'd look like.
No.
Okay. There was more to it than just chasing a bit of extra money.
Yeah.
So I had to sort of bring it back down a bit, reduce that, spent a bit more time blogging and emailing and trying to attract more clients that I really wanted to work with.
Yeah.
Okay, so being a bit more choosy, what I mean by that is I'm not into the people who just want to come in for a quick fix. I want some sort of longevity of it.
We're going to actually break away from this for part one, and then we'll carry it on this in part two. Cheers.
Now, here are 10 simple ways that you can get involved with Leamington Hour straight away. Now, I'm going to break it down into days of the week to make it easier. So on Monday at 6:30 in the morning, I drop an email into your inbox, which is the first Leamington Hour newsletter. Now, this is full of useful hints, tips, links to blogs, links to podcasts, links to radio shows. It gives you really cool information, and you can use social media to sign up for that or go to www.leamingtonhour.co.uk for more details. Later on a Monday, between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, we have a Leamington Hour radio show, which is on Radio Warwickshire. Now, most of the interviews that you will hear on the podcast would have been on the Radio Warwickshire show. So if you do want to hear more interviews with more people before the podcast comes out, then tune in to Radio Warwickshire every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30. On Wednesday, it is Leamington Hour Day. So
Once a month, we have a monthly workshop, which happens normally between 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, this ranges from different skills, ranging from Twitter, podcasting, blogging, content creation. There's 4 or 5 different workshops available. And again, you can check it out on the Eventbrite page or on the website. But they're there to help you develop and grow you and your business. Later on Wednesday, between 4 and 5, there's Lemington Hour on Twitter. All you need to do is type in hashtag Lemington Hour into the search box and just join in with the conversation. If you're not too sure about what a networking hour is, on my blog, I've just released a how to use a networking hour, and there's also a workshop about it as well. So if you're not too sure, give me a shout, I can send it over to you. Later on that day, straight after the hour, you've actually got a repeat of a Lemington Hour radio show on Radio Warwickshire. And straight after that, at 6 o'clock, it's available to download. So if you did miss it and you want to download it, check it out on Audioboom, and that's another way of getting in touch. Once a month then, on Wednesday, which is why I say Wednesday is Lemington Hour Day, because there's so much going on, we have the Lemington Hour networking event, which happens once a month in different locations in and around Lemington. And these are fantastic. If I don't say so myself, you've got 2 guest speakers at every event, plus also open networking before and after. And it's a great way of getting into networking, but it's also a great way of meeting new people. So let us know if you do want to get in touch and do you want to attend one of those. You can become a member, which is cheaper, or you can just pay as you go. Thursday, you can have a day off. And Friday, you've got another newsletter, which again has local information, hints, tips, blogs, loads of cool stuff coming to you at 6:30 in the morning. And also, this Lemington Hour podcast comes out as well. So subscribe to it on iTunes, check it out on Audioboom, check it out on the blog because it gets posted straight onto there. But there are the 10 ways you can get involved with Lemington Hour each month. Let's rejoin me and Phil for this brilliant interview. We're back now for part 2 with me and Phil. So Phil, before we took a break, you were talking about, you just came to the realisation that actually it doesn't matter if you got to 40 customers a week, it wouldn't give you any more happiness. So you decided to do more blogging, more emailing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so in terms of I needed to get more fulfilment in life, that's what I needed.
Cool.
I needed to reduce what I was doing and target more areas of my life that I wanted to improve in, and part of that is a specific client that I wanted to help.
Okay,
so I had to reduce what I did.
So did you actually choose did you make your ideal client?
Yes, I have got an ideal client, and now it's basically 35 plus.
Okay.
Typical person who may have tried and have failed and at their wit's end of what it is that they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of guys, but I still work with women too.
Mm-hmm.
So the right type of people are coming through now. If they just want a quick fix, they want to do a class, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not for me. I want to work with people. So we train, and then we have a coaching process behind it, and we find out about the why and the mindset,
yeah,
and all that, and then go off and do exercise that suits them and they enjoy. So I got into the social media side of it more. Mm-hmm. Okay, using most platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I was getting into blogging and emailing. They were 2 big things for me.
Blogging and email.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that was like, okay, I don't think I could do that because I was never any good at school. Okay. I was in the bottom classes at school. Like I said, I never really got on with people.
Mm.
For various, you know, reasons, and being bullied and sort of school and stuff like that. So I never really saw myself as someone who could write.
Okay.
Or as I thought.
Mm.
But I did it.
Yeah.
And I thought, for me to do this, I've got to do it in my own way.
Yeah, makes sense.
And if they don't like it, well, fair enough. That's just not the right person for me.
Well, the thing is, if you don't do it the right way, you're not going to feel comfortable putting it out there.
Exactly. So I wrote in a way that was easy to me, and it was like I was just talking to someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I just carried on doing it, and people seemed to like it. So
yeah.
This is a little bit different. We quite like the way it's like you're talking to us rather than at us.
Mm.
And that pretty much was it. So I was doing that, and I'd do that weekly and blog on the website and spread it over various platforms, which, you know, works really well. And then it was June 2015 where I got an email from Men's Health. Okay. And I'm just writing a book myself at the moment. I'm halfway through. And this is a part that I put in there. In June, I got an email from Men's Health. I read it and I thought it was a joke. I thought one of my mates was playing a prank on me. So I read it and just ignored it and it went off to work.
Yeah.
And then I was walking home and I went into the shop just for groceries or whatever. I picked up a copy of Men's Health on the shelf. I had a little quick look through it, unsealed it like you shouldn't. And then I saw the editor's name in there and I was like, okay, maybe it wasn't a joke. So when I got the email back out and read it, I thought, wow, okay, I better reply to this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, yeah, cool. I'm happy to do articles for you. And there you go. My first assignment. You get two versions of Men's Health. There's the one you see in the shop.
Yeah.
And then they've got an online platform. So this was to start with on the online platform to provide workouts. And I thought, that was great. That's cool. So I started doing that. And then before you know it, I'd done about 10 or 15 of them. It was pretty cool. My name was on the Men's Health website. Yeah. And it was all a bit surreal and it never really felt like it was happened.
No.
And almost felt embarrassed sometimes. That.
But what do you put that down to? Not obviously the embarrassment, but how did you get that opportunity? Do you think it was the blogging? Do you think it was the emails?
Yeah,
what did
see? I asked, his name's Edward, I asked him, how did you find me? And he goes, oh, well, I've been looking at your blogs for the last few weeks. So I thought, you know, I liked them.
Brilliant.
So there you go. He gave me the opportunity. So if anyone's thinking about blogging out there, that's a great reason to get, you know, get stuff out there. You never know who is watching.
No.
Okay. So that happened. And then the best thing ever happened. I got the opportunity from another editor within Men's Health to actually have my own article in the shop version.
Ah,
now, that was the big one for me.
Yeah.
Because not everyone sees the one online.
Right.
But the one on the magazine rack in W.A. Smith is the one.
I don't think I knew about the online bit. I think I knew about it first when it hit the shelves.
Yeah, so about 6 months before that, I'd been doing all the online stuff, but then I got the opportunity to be in the real public eye.
Nice.
And I got my own full spread article, and that came out last February. I've done 3 of those now since, so I've done about 30 online and 3 actually in the full copy magazine. So, you know, I am a full-time contributor to Men's Health,
which is pretty cool, but it also makes you an authority in your industry by being in a publication which has got a massive, massive publication and massive subscription. It's
definitely
brilliant.
Yep, so pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
Considering I was the kid at the bottom class in English.
Yeah.
And then that's projected me onto other beliefs. And like I said, I'm writing a book at the moment.
Yeah. So, well, just quickly going back to these articles, just so we can kind of close that off. What kind of articles are they and what topics are they under if people wanted to check it out?
Yeah, so they are pretty much exercise based articles for the themes, like the whole theme behind Men's Health is for busy men who, let's say, don't have much time to exercise. So there's going to be the workouts in there are never longer than 20, 25 minutes. It's quick stuff, body weight stuff. Stuff you can do at the gym if you have that access, but it's pretty much aimed at 30 plus guy who just needs to do something to stay healthy, because there's no point in chasing, like I said, chasing the money, chasing the dream, if your health then stops you wanting to take full benefits of that when you're older.
Makes sense.
People forget that.
Yeah.
You know, they chase one thing, but they don't realise what might happen in 10 years' time. So bringing that balance is a big thing.
Mm.
which is pretty much what I do with my coaching programs.
So they can check out different exercises online still?
They're all on there. They're on my website.
Oh, cool.
But you can find them. They're all there. The recent copy in Men's Health was out, 2 months ago, so, yeah, you probably missed out on that one. But I'm sure there'll be some more in 2017.
There's going to be some more. I'm sure it's going to continue.
Yeah.
But that's quite cool. So that pretty much takes us to modern day, doesn't it? That's your journey, which is absolutely brilliant. So there's a few lessons that I've kind of picked up on during that, and that's pretty much never give up.
Yes.
Don't give up, just keep on going, even if you're
being a bit of an underdog, to be honest. And I think that's kind of where my mindset comes from. I've always been picked on a little bit, and I think just got the old Rocky kind of like mindset where, you know, one more round, just get up and just keep going, because people are normally only just around the corner from a breakthrough. It's just at that point where they stop. If they just keep going a little bit longer, that it could have been that moment.
True. But don't give up. Another key lesson for me is really focus on your why. So you've spoken about your why a couple of times during it, and really focus on it and drive towards it.
Yeah, so that's a real big area that I focus on, and it's the first thing that I ever do with anyone, and this is where my coaching comes into play. You know, the training's the training, but unless we do this area, no one's ever really going to get to what it is that they want. So focusing on the why is massive for me. So if someone comes up to me and says, "Phil, I want to lose 2 stone," I always just put my hand up and go, "That's not really it, is it?" And they look at me, "Well, yeah, I want to lose two stone. So I simply ask, "Why do you want to lose 2 stone? And then they think about it a little bit, and they're like, "Oh, okay, well, I can't fit into my clothes at the moment," which there's nothing wrong with that. That's cool. Cool answer, great. "What clothes do you want to fit into?" And then they start in their head, their wardrobe in their head, they're going through the clothes, and, "Oh, yeah, the black number or the tight top that I haven't worn since, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or I went into River Island the other day and had a great top in there, but I just couldn't wear that."
Yep.
"This is pretty cool stuff." So you want to fit into that. And then, "Where are you going to be with that top on?" And they're like, "I'll be out with my mates." Cool. "What will be happening?" "Well, I feel connected with my mates because I'm fed up of being the fat guy or, you know, the flumpy one." Okay, nothing wrong with that. I get it.
Yeah.
So you feel connected with your mates, they're going to be asking you where you got your top from, they're going to be asking you what you've been doing, what you've been eating, how you've lost so much weight, because they're so in tune with their why. So we get that emotional attachment to their goal, they don't need me to motivate them.
And is that the first step you do before you go into the gym or design anything?
Very first step. We don't even, some people just want training, and that's cool, that's fair enough. I can't make people do anything, but I do say this is the better route for you, and it's almost a higher end program now.
Yeah. So let's say if someone's in that position where they can't get into their top, so they can't, you know, I suppose that's one side of it, but if, let's say, they're training for a sporting event, would you be able to do something like that? Because I know you do so much more than just lift weights. I see you on doing the wolf run, you see you doing sportives on cycling. You know, your cardio is right up there as well as your strength. And I think people might not see that about some people, especially you.
Yeah, maybe they don't. That's a big part of what I do. I love doing all the local events, you know, the Two Castles, the wolf run, the bike rides. And do it all with clients too. You know, we've talked about finding people's why, and normally it's they want to lose weight, but people don't just stop there. When they don't have this belief that they can do a wolf run, they don't have this belief that they can run 10k, and that's cool, I get that, that's not for them yet. When they've lost that 2 stone, things start to happen. They're like, "What's next?" They don't just stop.
No,
they've got this clarity about what happens now. They then see themselves doing these other things and almost influence it. So I've got, if I use an example here,
go for it.
Simon, I train. He started with me when he was 49, and he just he's a busy guy. Let health get on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wanted to just train twice a week. That's all he wanted to do. It was fine. So we did that for about 2 years. He lost a load of weight. Then he started getting excited about his training, and his energy went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
We joked that he looks and feels younger than he ever has, because we were kind of not joking, it's true.
Yeah.
To the point then, when he was like 52, 53, we did the wolf run together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I said, I'm going to get you round if you want to do it. Mm. So we off and we did the wolf run, done that. Probably one of my favourite moments of my life was actually that, seeing, taking this guy who just wandered in looking for personal training to doing a wolf run at 53, where people would just look at that and go, whoa, I can't do that.
But the big thing is, the wolf run, for anybody who doesn't know, is a local event. It's an off-road obstacle race, basically, isn't it? I've done it. It's absolutely cracking. I've done it a couple of times. And the good thing about it for me is I run it in a pack, so a group of people, and we all stay together pretty much all the way through it. So we all cross the line together, and the camaraderie, the kind of the teamwork involved in it, it's just immense. It was such a good feeling behind it.
It's great. It. We take, 2.5 hours to do it, and it doesn't feel like that at the time, because I always say to people, we run together, you know, we start together and we finish together. If you're not happy with that, well, then you can do it with another group, because our group is all about teamwork, and that's the whole ethos of my coaching group.
Yeah,
is
I get that.
It's teamwork. You're there to support people. No one's better than anyone else.
No.
Okay. We run as fast as the person at the back. Okay, and that works with the wolf run. And I've done the wolf run about 5 times now. I'd probably not do the wolf run on my own.
No. Would you be tempted just to see how quickly you could do it?
I'm tempted to do that. I am tempted to do that. But for me, my thing is, I want to take people who would never have that belief that they could do it.
No.
The people that start with me, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you're doing the wolf run next year. I don't tell them that.
No.
And then 6 months down the line, they have this belief, their strength goes up, they lose a bit of weight, they see us doing it, and they want a part of it.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'm like, cool, let's get this achievement on there. But it's almost now, in my opinion, it's like people's marathon.
Yeah, no, true.
You know, I'm not taking anything away from the marathon. That's huge and that's massive. But not everyone can do the marathon.
No.
Not anyone can get in it.
No.
But for the wolf run, it's local. Supporting local businesses is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to do that, the pictures are there forever.
Yeah.
We still talk about it now, about that day, because it's there in your head.
Mm.
I mean, going to the gym and losing weight is great. We don't think about it in two or three years' time. Remember that squat?
No.
Remember the wolf run?
I did a wolf run. My last one was about 2.5 years. No. Yeah, about 2 years ago. I think I did the second one and the third one. And I can still remember it. And if you ask me any training runs or any cycle since then, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. And I've done marathons since, well, I've done a marathon since then and a couple of halves. Wolf run, far and away, because of that atmosphere, the team kind of effort we put into it, it's golden. Absolute golden. So completely agree.
It's, you know, we'll continue to do it, because it's just, it's my way of giving people belief who don't think that they have it right now.
True.
You know, we're all good enough to do it.
Mm.
They just don't believe it. So if I offer that support, I'm a firm believer that obviously we do things to get paid money, but there are other ways that you can get paid.
Yeah.
My own fulfillment is getting people across that line.
Mm.
You're paying me by doing that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my thing.
Yeah, if you look at Simon, and you look at the before and after, that for you is probably going to give you so much more pleasure than financial benefit that you've got from it. There's no probably question that.
You know, every time I share it on Twitter still, it just gives me that memory. Because if we go back to my why was hit that day, helping this guy who never had that belief, because we joked about it that he'd never do it ever, to getting him across the line. And the best bit was, I didn't even really have to help him on the day. I thought I would. I said, I'll run with you, I won't let you down. But he didn't need any assistance.
He already had the mindset, he already had the belief that he'd finished it.
Exactly.
He just hadn't done it,
And it's not just Simon. There's like five or six similar Simons now who have all done the Wolf Run or the 10K Two Castles. One, two, where I've got people who have just come to me for weight loss to then, a year or two later, achieving the Two Castles and just getting that medal, and the feeling they get from their kids seeing them achieve it is a huge thing.
Yeah.
When you've got that, you've got anything. You don't need any motivation.
No, not at all. This has been absolutely golden. This has been a great interview. Now, I was wondering if you had kind of one golden nugget, so one really cool piece of advice you could give to someone that would change their perception or their life. You know, let's go big. What would it be?
Well, we've already talked about the why
quite
a bit, so you already know that one. The next second one would be, people make things complicated, okay, and then that causes all kinds of issues, you know, sustainability. I'm massive on keeping things simple. Simple works best. If you can find an easier way to do something, do it.
Yep.
Because in terms of, you know, change is easy, change is a split second, but transformation takes a while. To get to transformation, you need to, one, be doing something that's simple, you got to enjoy it, put them two together with consistency and you get transformation.
Makes sense.
So find something you enjoy, okay, so it's got to be fun. Massive thing for me is you got to enjoy it. It's part of my value, my own values.
Yeah.
If you don't enjoy it, do something different, because there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah.
So my own clients, I'll never get someone doing anything in the gym that I don't like doing.
No.
We'll do it a different way.
Fair enough.
But as long as you enjoy it. Because if you enjoy it, you'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
When has anyone ever stopped doing something they enjoy?
True.
So find something you enjoy.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Just do the small things daily.
Mm-hmm.
The small things could be as simple as drinking a little bit more water. It's nothing crazy, nothing you haven't heard before with me. It's just, I'm really, my genius is habits. Getting people to create healthy habits.
We're going to stop it there for a second, because we like to do a podcast extra with our guests afterwards.
Yeah.
And what I would love to do is your top three tips about either keeping habits going or just changing stuff. Okay. So let's keep that for the podcast extra, if that's all right, because that is, you've already touched upon so much golden stuff. So if someone wanted to get hold of you on social media, websites, you know, contact details, whatever it is, how would they?
You can contact me through my website, which is www.philsimspt.co.uk. I'm on pretty much every social media channel going, so you can find me on Facebook. There is my Health Formation Coach page, there's my personal page. I'm on Twitter, Coach Phil Sims. I'm on Instagram. I'm a local guy, I'm in Leamington.
So where what gym do you normally operate at?
I work mainly at Biz Fitness. Down the bottom of town, but if anyone ever wants me, they can buy me coffee and I'll give them 15 minutes advice for free.
Nice. So coffee, 15 minutes. But I tell you what, check out his blog, check out his email, subscribe to them, because they are so good. And when do you reckon this book's going to be out? Because that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, well, I want it out. Well, it's going to be out in 2017, as early as this, as early as possible. It's halfway through. It's turning into a little bit bigger than what I first planned. But it's going to be awesome, because it's going to be simple stuff. It's not going to be, it's not a book all about me.
No.
It's a tips book.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking a busy person and looking at their day. mm-hmm. and going through little small sections all throughout that day. So it goes like this. First thing in the morning, okay,
yep.
what do you do for breakfast? What do you do on your way to work? What do you do for what do you do for the first 30 minutes at work?
So giving really practical yeah. tips.
What
do
you do in meetings? What do you do on the go? What do you do in the car? It's for anyone,
brilliant.
But it's for people who are busy who find that they're just running around like a blue ass fly. So early 2017, hopefully.
Cracking. That is golden. Phil, it's been a pleasure. Cheers.
Okay, thank you for having me.
If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us. Connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones. But mainly, let me know about your story. Let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote, and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. So let's rejoin me and Phil, and this is the special podcast extra where we're going to be talking about the 3 R's and going into a little bit more detail about what they are. Now, you guys are really lucky because you're going to be listening to the podcast extra bit now. So we're joined with Phil again for part 3. So Phil, we were speaking about the 3 R's before, and I love this. So let's talk about that a little bit more. So what are the 3 R's?
My 3 daily R's. This is a concept that I kind of like blended with a few other ones myself, and it really helps. You can use it with anything. You could use this for your training, your health, your work, family, your general everyday living.
Mm.
Okay, so it helps you to break things up.
Yeah.
Get like a bit more aware of what you've done, a bit more conscious, because we often make things up as we go along throughout the day.
Yeah.
We say we want to do something, but we then end up not doing it, and we don't know why, because like I said earlier, things get in the way, life takes over.
Yeah.
You know, the phone goes off, someone turns up at the door, and we forget that thing that we wanted to do, and before you know it, we've not done it, and then it carries on for 2 or 3 days, and then we get overwhelmed, we're too busy, and stuff just doesn't get done.
Yeah.
So this is a system to get stuff done.
Cool.
So
sounds good.
The 3 daily R's, the first one is recipe. What is your recipe for the day? What do you want to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
Pick 3 to 5 things, no more than 5, things that you need to do, you have to do,
mm-hmm.
things that must get done. And this could be anything like, I need to drink more water,
mm-hmm.
I need to eat 3 meals a day, I need to have two meals with vegetables on,
mm-hmm.
I've got to get to the bank, I've got to go and pick up that thing for the kids. It could be anything.
Yeah.
Okay, not stuff that you just do anyway, but things that haven't been quite working.
So you want to get
yeah.
done.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll do other stuff, but mm-hmm. these things have to happen.
Yeah.
So 3, no more than 5.
Okay.
Then the next bit is key. It's your review.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is something that I do and we use with clients. It's brilliant. Set up an alarm. Everyone's got a smartphone these days.
Mm-hmm.
So set your alarm every 2 to 3 hours to go off. And then what you do is you look back over them last 2 or 3 hours
mm-hmm.
and go, have I done any of them? If so, great. If not, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Have I come up against an obstacle? Is there a different way I need to do it? Can someone else help me? Okay,
mm-hmm.
and then that normally ends up ticking something else off.
Okay,
and then you set that alarm up every about 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah.
Okay, then you get to the end of the day, and the 3rd R is review.
Mm-hmm.
You look back over the whole 3 to 5 things that you set up in your recipes.
Yeah.
And did I achieve them? If you did, great. Pat on the back. Have a bit of appreciation of what you've achieved. It's a win.
Yeah.
Okay. If not, don't beat yourself up. Think, is there still time to do it today?
Mm-hmm.
Who could help me tomorrow? And then that way, you'll get a lot of things done quicker. You'll be more efficient. You'll be mm-hmm. more effective. And ultimately, your results will be a lot better.
Love it. So just to recap on the 3 R's. First one is?
Recipe.
Cool. Second one?
Review.
Third one?
So I've got that wrong. So it's recipe review and reflect.
Perfect. Yes. Absolutely golden. Cheers.
No worries.
Thank you so much, Phil, for that brilliant interview. Now, I hope you really enjoyed it. And seriously, if you do want to get in touch with him, check him out on Facebook. Go to his Facebook group, which is really cool. He posts different stuff in there every day. Check him out on LinkedIn and Twitter. But more importantly, just get in touch with him, have a conversation, and start transforming your life. He's a guy to help you. Now, we've got loads of cool guests coming up on our show, and if you do want to hear more, then check out our radio show on Leamington, which is called the Leamington Hour Radio Show, which appears on Radio Warwickshire every Wednesday between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, and every Wednesday between 5:00 and 6:00 in the evening as well. Check out my website, www.leamingtonhour.co.uk. Have a great week, everyone.